Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Enough about me. Turtle Boy is going to join me here in a little while. If you don't know who that is, he runs Turtle Boy Sports, which is not really sports. It's a whole bunch of things. He's broke a bunch of stories. Police stuff out in Worcester. If you listen to me, you probably know who he is. He'll tell his story, and he's run into a lot of the same problems I have. He's somebody who, he writes some things sometimes where I'm like, is that necessary? We get into that. But he is important, and he himself, his work is necessary right now in a media, particularly in the New England area, that is just void of anybody who asks any questions. You know, a couple of parody accounts, me and Turtle Boy. That's pretty much the media right now. I laugh at the Globe the last couple of days, and Turtle Boy and I talk about it a little bit. The Stephanie Ebert, who wouldn't come on the podcast, I called her. I'll tell you that in a second. She wrote this story about these women in Wayland who got together and basically shut down these two massage parlors that turned out to not have any sex trafficking at all. And they just, you know, basically assumed because they were Asian that they were sex traffickers or prostitutes. So I would say that's some bias right there, some racism, in my opinion. But this Ebert one makes these women who ruin these other women's lives make them look like heroes. You know, like it's a fucking Disney movie with these moms and their dogs and Wayland and their million-dollar houses. It's pathetic. And then Joe Vinocchi today in the Globe writes another story about Bob Kraft wanting to see this video. And as I say, the Turtle Boy, the fucking Globe is more obsessed with Bob Kraft's penis than I was obsessed with my own penis when I was like 12 years old. It's amazing to me. I'm telling you, Kraft should just bring it around. Should just take it with him to the Globe one day. And everybody, you know, Shaughnessy wants to take a look at it. Go ahead. Friggin', you know, Marquardt, God knows, go ahead. McGrory, you know, knock yourself out. Everybody take a look. Joe Vinocchi, you guys want to take some pictures? Good. Want a selfie? Want to tweet it out? Want to Snapchat it? Like, it's a fucking penis. And the idea that they're hiding behind the idea that it's like free speech, we all know it's bullshit and that, you know, people care about the story. It's just, you're lying. You are titillated by it. You know that it leads to clicks. Just be intellectually honest, and I'll give you guys a break. Don't lie about it, which is what you're clearly doing. So that's a strange situation. We continue to move forward here on the podcast. We got a couple coming up this week. We have an interesting one we're going to tape tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully, we pull this one off. If we do, it'll be a good one. I don't want to give anything away, but it'll be worth listening to. That'll be Thursday. It'll drop. This one is Wednesday with Turtle Boy. And I like Turtle Boy, and I know he gets a lot of criticism, and people think he, whatever, doxes people and calls, and he does, and whatever. You know, to me now at this point, I just like anybody who actually chases the truth, who, you know, comes in with very little bias, or maybe some bias, honestly, but at least admits it, and breaks stories, because, you know, I'm working on something right now that's, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot to it. It's layered. And there's a lot of people not telling the truth. I had an uncomfortable conversation with somebody in the construction business this morning at his office and thought it was going to get ugly for a second. So you run into stuff like that. But you have to ask questions. And there are, you know, four or five of us, like I said, in this city, in Boston, who are doing it. And I think even fewer in each major city around the country. And I get it. Like, you're afraid. If you ask questions, you're going to get in trouble. Or you're going to get silenced. Or you're going to get fired. Or you're going to get moved. Or you're going to get whatever. Or if you just think something might be ridiculous that nobody else thinks is ridiculous, you're afraid to say that. It's, you know, that's where we're at right now. From a show perspective, our podcast perspective anyway, not a lot of updates. Continue to do the producer stuff. I did promise to read that story, which I keep forgetting to read. I'll do that as well later on this week. I'm actually getting texts right now. I have two people working with me. I won't give away their identity on this other story. That's interesting. I would just, obviously, it ties in the gentleman who I spoke to on video last week, and some stuff involving people he works with. it's layered and endless, and every time you dig into something, you see something else, and you find something else. So you're sort of, the size of it right now is so big that I'm trying to figure out a way to make it a coherent, say, 45-minute podcast, but you find more shit out. But I'm having fun doing that, and I'm digging and digging on that story and two other ones as well. And we're making some progress on that, but I'm sort of focused on the big one. But tomorrow is going to be different than any of that. I think you're going to enjoy that one. And you're going to enjoy this one, too. Turtle Boy, I've not had on ever. I used to have him on the old show once in a while. But I like what he's doing. You know, I like what he does. I'm sorry. I know that, you know, last year at the place I used to work at, people would say, you don't tweet him out. Don't say his name. Murchison doesn't like him. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I would sit there and say, this guy is fighting for us. You know, he's got our back. When nobody else, and I'm not counting the parody accounts, they were obviously great, but nobody else in the media at all had our back at all. And, you know, not even in our building, not even people we worked with. And this guy was, you know, putting it on the line and getting in real trouble. And I felt like a fucking asshole to not have his night. You know, I taped this open before we had him on. I should have apologized to him for that. I think I have privately. You know, I should have been stronger and said, you know what, go fuck yourselves. This guy has our back, and we're sitting there and we're trying to hide from it. so I'll always appreciate that. And go to his website. He'll promote it at the end. He's got his website. He has a book on Amazon, which I got, which I enjoyed. He's doing a lot of good stuff, a lot of interesting stuff, stuff that nobody else does. And one thing I can say about him is I read something he writes every single day. There's nobody else I say that about. That's Turtle Boy, and he joins me right now on Enough About Me. All right, making his debut appearance here on Enough About Me, at long last, is Turtle Boy himself. What's going on?
What's going on, Kirk? How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing... Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming on. You're so polite. Look at you.
Oh, yeah, very gentlemanly.
Charming guy. So, yeah. Explain to me what's going on. The end of last week, I was running around, and I saw your missive, which was close to the GoFundMe pages that you frequently mock, I have to say.
Correct.
But it's
a little different. It's a little different.
Go ahead. You're rude enough to interrupt, so go ahead and continue and explain to me the situation.
But the people were mocking, right?
Yes.
They're raising money for something, and it's just for themselves, essentially, right? Like, you know, they want to go on a vacation. They want to do something stupid. It's not a life-saving procedure, nothing, okay? This is more like a voluntary paywall, if you will. Like, we could go the Globe route and charge $2 a month or whatever they charge to read their content, or we could just go the PBS route and say, look it, here we are. If you'd like this to continue, you can donate.
Why don't you just go full, like, $2.99 a month? That way you get rid of all these pop-up ads and people like you. You have an audience. Why don't you just do that?
Yeah, because the audience would be a lot smaller. Turbo Boy's a man of the people, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Don't want to exclude people.
So what is the reason... So, you know, just in case, now I'll tape the open after this, but I'll just catch everybody up. Turtle Boy, if you don't know, if you're a listener to this, you don't know who he is, you should follow him for now at his Twitter account until it gets suspended. Turtle Boy is one of these guys who bust people. He's one of the few investigative journalists left. The guy who wrote the Boston Magazine story would not name you, about me, by the way, would not name you. He felt because you dox people, he felt it was too offensive to even name you, which we should consider, you know, obviously a feather in your cap. You've been, you know, obviously supportive of me, which I appreciate. And you run into trouble, as I do, and you do, and people who ask questions and make people uncomfortable. And by the way, I get to speak to you. We'll talk about it later. But makes people uncomfortable. You find yourself in situations that are tough, and it seems to me, maybe you can fill me in, that you have found yourself in one of these situations once again, as it seems like you frequently do.
Yeah, we're always in the middle of something. So, you know, people have been trying to silence the blog and free speech in general ever since its inception, right? There's various ways. Like, I get death threats all the time, and I love when, you know, media personalities whine about death threats, because ultimately it's just, you know, words at a computer screen, and nobody's actually going to hurt you, and if they do, you call the cops, you know? But those don't work, and so they go the boycott route, and this is exactly kind of what happened to you. Now, they call it boycotts, but it's not really a boycott. A boycott is when, like, Rosa Parks boycotted the buses, right? She just didn't ride the bus, and neither did any of the other black people in Montgomery. What they didn't do is call up companies they don't like and just say, we're not riding your bus, over and over again. They just didn't ride it. And that's the difference between boycotts and harassment today. These people think they're boycotting. They just call up your advertisers or email them relentlessly and and they misrepresent you, and they say, well, you're racist, you're sexist. They put little quotes out of context completely and say, oh, look at this guy. You want to support this? This is terrible. We will not be doing business with you. And then they get these emails, and they're like, well, this isn't good. And they believe that this is representative of groupthink, but well, it's not. It's just a couple of yahoos.
What I would think, though, is like, so given, you know, the situation where I used to be, you know, there are national advertisers who had no idea what was going on. So Murchison would bludgeon them, as you know, and they'd say, you know, what the fuck? Did they take something completely out of context or this or that? And they would say, is the emails you saw and you had in your story, they were just like, well, get this people out of our lives. You, I would think, if I'm advertising for Turtle Boy, right, if you pitch to me, everybody must know what they're getting into by now, no?
Right, right. So, they, you know, a lot of them, they know that. And that's why a lot of them are hesitant to, right? They'll get business out of this. We will send a lot of people their way. But it's also disruptive. You know, like imagine trying to run an insurance agency, and then you're just getting phone calls all the time from people that are just literally just annoying you. They're pests. They're not going to hurt your business because they were never coming to you in the first place.
After a while, you just say, fuck it.
What was that?
After a while, your connection's a little weird.
Exactly.
Speak on the phone, would you, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah.
There you go. After a while, that's why my issue was never really people get, you know, I admire people like Kaplansky and Milton's and Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, I would never get frustrated at the particular companies because after a while, I to some extent, I do get it where they're just like, fucking forget it. Like, I can't deal with this shit. I have to run a business.
Yeah. And honestly, I get that. But when I saw Kaplansky, what they said,
it was great.
More businesses need to do that.
Absolutely.
They need to grow a set.
Sure. No, I agree 1,000%. Yeah. So what specifically happened to you, though, that led to this thing on Friday? What is the latest? What is going on? What led you to get on your hands and knees and roll around like one of these people you make fun of and, you know, out in Worcester and beg and plead and
humble
cry
them
and weep for money? What happened?
Correct.
Yes.
So, we've been blacklisted by, you know, Google AdSense and other ways to make money. And on top of that, we get sued a lot, right? I've been sued probably close to a dozen times. I've never actually lost. I've never even been to trial. I mean, these things all get dismissed over time. But you have to hire an attorney if you own a business or an LLC like I do. And that costs a lot of money. And when you win, which these libel suits always get dismissed, you don't get a refund.
Yeah, you don't get shit, right.
They don't have to pay for your court costs. And so, essentially, these people just use the courts as a way to harass you and try to bankrupt you, knowing that it's not legitimate. Now, I just got out of like a 10-month lawsuit against a former guy that actually used to advertise on my blog, a local politician who I didn't endorse in an election, and he sued me for that. And then the most recent lawsuit that I'm in right now is actually with a woman from the South Coast. She ran like a yoga studio down there, and there were a lot of customer complaints about it. And so we wrote about it, right? One of my bloggers wrote about it. And, it wasn't libelous at all. It was opinion-based. This woman, basically, she's like an attractive, you know, young woman, probably in her mid-30s. Mm-hmm. She's dating a guy, or married to a guy now, I guess, who's probably close to 80. Right, but he's a multi-millionaire. He owns like half the South Coast, and I think the quote in question in the blog that they're saying was libelous was that this woman is "quote unquote" basically a prostitute because she's dating this guy and spending, buying Porsches and buying ridiculous things and spending money like crazy, and because she's with this guy, like, oh, she would not have this money if it weren't for this guy. And what would you call a woman? Right? I mean, do you think that's prostitution?
I do not think that's prostitution. By the way, I don't think you do either. I think whoever wrote that. Did you write it or somebody else?
No, I have freelancers that write.
Okay. My guess is that they were being sort of sarcastic to make a point.
Correct.
But I would say, like, that's it's not prostitution. What I would say was, if the guy was making $25,000 a year, would you be dating him? Probably not. I think that's
right.
That's safe to say. If he was working at, you know, Walgreens, they probably would not have a relationship.
Yeah, kind of like how Erin Andrews, you know, would be working at if she gained 15 pounds, right?
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Being physically attractive and young, you know, can get you nicer things. And that's just the fact that this woman, that she would not be dating this guy were it not for his wealth.
Right, but I guess, so my counter to that would be, like, you know, okay, so that person writes that story. Can't you kind of get that point across, that line? Like, isn't it, once you see a picture of her and the guy, I mean, aren't we kind of, don't we all sort of know what's going on?
Perhaps, but, you know, that's the essence of free speech, is that why should you have to say something different?
Well, look, you're not going to get me to make the argument that you shouldn't be able to write or say whatever you want, because I think you should be able to, as long as it's truthful, that's fine. Yeah. But like, so, you know, like, obviously I'm a huge supporter of your page, and you can promote your book as well, or do whatever you want. You've been a big supporter of me. But like, for instance, last weekend I'm reading your blog, and there's a story about a woman who's trying to sell a couch or something. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that woman, yeah.
Right, so I think the name of it was like Missionary Margaret or something. I don't know. Is that
correct?
Right? Like, so I look at that and I think, you know, while I am not going to get in your way of writing it, you know that, I look at it and I say, is this, I don't know, is this really necessary? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'll blow back for that one, for sure.
What'd you say?
That wasn't our finest blog. I'll tell you that much right now. But I thought it was entertaining. I mean, I did not write that piece, but.
Yeah, but it's your site,
I
right?
I had the ability to take it down.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's not like the most important thing in the world.
Right. So why write it, I guess, is my point. Like, again, I'm not coming from a point where I'm like, you know, fuck you. Yeah. You should, but I'm just, I read that and I'm like, when you, I wonder if it hurts the more serious stuff. And you guys break, we can go through it. You guys break more stories than fucking everybody else put together.
Yeah.
So I wonder sometimes if it's harder for people who are trying to push that information out and kind of get your site going. When they see shit like that, they're like, I think it's a tough call. That's all.
It's a good point. I mean, that's ultimately what we're up against, right? Is that we do a lot of important work with the state police stories and stuff like that.
Huge.
You know, but we mix it in. We're not made of state police stories, you know.
Sure.
You need some filler there. You need some entertainment. And to me, that was just like a common occurrence. Like, when people send us stuff like that and they say, look, this woman is specifically banning single moms from buying a couch.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it, but yeah.
It's an easy blog. It is what it is.
Is there any, you know, regrets when you do stuff? Ever when you do stuff like that, like, ah, shit, I shouldn't have done that or no?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I've taken down blogs before. If people, I'm not like a bad guy. If people contact me, like, there was one story a couple of years ago, a URI football player cheated on his girlfriend at spring break. It was something absurd. He got caught on Instagram. We wrote about it. And the guy contacted me a few months later. And he said, look, I did something stupid. But I'm looking for jobs now. And when people Google my name, they're going to see this. Can you take it down? I said, yeah, sure. My goal here isn't to, like, ruin your life or anything like that or make it impossible for you to find employment. No problem, man. So I've probably taken down dozens of blogs in the past.
What's the craziest, and I have a few, but what's the craziest sort of, you know, a PC social justice warrior run amok that's happened against you, or somebody's really tried to hurt you, or you've seen something. Whether it's Twitter or Facebook. What's that?
Didi Delgado.
What's that?
So Didi Delgado runs the Boston Black Lives Matter chapter.
Yeah.
Google her. Oh, she is something else. So this woman has like a cult of woke white women who follow her on social media. And she makes them pay her reparations every Friday. She calls it Reparations Friday.
Is that true?
And I'm not exaggerating. This is a story we wrote in November of 2017 about her.
I don't remember
and then
this.
She takes the money and goes on exotic vacations to Aruba and stuff like that. She is the most bizarre and fascinating social justice warrior I've ever seen. And she just literally exploits and profits off of white guilt. It's amazing to watch. So we did a blog on it, right? And then this woman's army of, like, you know, woke white women followers from everywhere, we had 112,000 followers on Facebook. And they just mass reported us, like, thousands of times, until eventually our page was shut down. Because if you report something enough on Facebook, it triggers an algorithm, and it gets the page taken down. We've had 38 pages taken down since then. We're completely blacklisted from Twitter. The Twitter account you referenced before, that's not me.
That's not you, right?
If I logged into that account from my house, it would be deactivated.
What happened there? Like, why? So you get on Twitter, then you get off, then you get, like, what is Twitter's issue? I know Twitter is fucking insane and lefty and just fucking totally lost their minds.
Yep.
But what triggers, you know, like what triggers them to do that to you?
So the first time I was ever banned was I retweeted Kathy Griffin. She called Jeff Flake the C-word. Right? Because he voted for Kavanaugh or something. She went nuts. So Kathy Griffin's a wild follow on Twitter. And I literally retweeted her. I'm like, oh, I guess you can say this word on here. And for that, I was suspended. And so I've created new accounts. And
so if I tweet out today, like, tomorrow when you come on here, today, whatever, having Turtle Boy on, you know, he's a cunt, but yeah, but I happen to like him. I'll get suspended on Twitter?
No, because that's one thing I wrote about when I was taken down, was that, like, I just searched cunt on Twitter, and thousands of tweets come up. So obviously it's not banned. They're just targeting specific people, right? And so I create new accounts, and eventually around August, I want to say, or something like that, maybe a little later, maybe October, what they instituted a new thing where they actually ban your IP address. My wife, who has nothing to do with my business whatsoever and uses a different computer, she's banned from Twitter. She can't create an account or anything because we live in the same house. And my kids won't be able to use Twitter. I can't, like, it's like if you came over to my house and you logged into your Twitter account, you would get deactivated too.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking,
very normal.
It's fucking crap. You know, and you know, and then you see these people get suspended all the time. It seems to me, and maybe it's because of the people I follow, but it seems to me the people who get suspended on Twitter are right-leaning like 99 times out of 100.
Oh, but there's no bias, remember. Yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, no, I saw the Joe Rogan thing. Yeah, there's no absolutely no bias whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the woman. I mean, that was the Joe Rogan one.
It was incredible. Incredible.
When Tim Pool was on there, he just asked her, you know, like literally one of your policies about, and that's something else I got in trouble for, is misgendering once. One of your policies says you can't, quote unquote, misgender someone.
Oh, you told me this before, right? What happened? Remember this? You told me this. What happened?
Yeah, so like I got in trouble for saying, I think this is the last straw, for writing that I will call you whatever pronoun I want to call you, because that's how freedom works. You cannot compel speech from another person in a free society. You can't make me say something, make me say a word.
Oh, yeah?
Right? That's not how this works.
not anymore. Yeah.
And so I wrote that, and that violates their misgendering policy, which in and of itself is a liberal policy, because that's something conservatives don't believe in. So it's for them to say there's no bias. It's like your policy has bias in it.
So if I had referred to, like, if I tweet, I thought I talked to you about this a while ago. If I had tweeted out the winner of the 1976 Olympic decathlon was Bruce Jenner, yeah, I would have got, there's a chance I would have got suspended from Twitter.
They would be validated in suspending you, certainly. That would be okay.
I mean,
according to their rules.
Well, I mean,
I probably wouldn't, but,
right,
you know.
It's just, you know, you write about this. I've made a career out of it. It's just, it is the I think, and you know, look, I don't know, every moment in history, it feels to me like the craziest fucking moment in history right now. The craziest. It doesn't matter. Like, every single day, there's 12 different stories that you can look at, and it's getting crazier and crazier.
It's because of social media. It just amplifies this stuff, and it gives these.
Well, it's also Trump. It's also Trump, like, madness. Like, people have just.
No, of course.
Flipped.
Oh, well, Trump has made these people mad.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, Twitter has given everybody a voice and a blue check mark, and they, you know, and it's just not real life. You ask your average person on the street, you know, if they're upset about, you know, misgendering, and they don't care. But on Twitter, they act like it's, you know, the biggest deal in the world. My biggest beef with these platforms is that, you know, and I kind of talk about this in the book, is that this is election meddling. You know, they're taking down people with big voices around election time who can potentially, like, influence, you know, new voters. So that, you know, they're investigating the Russians for meddling. But what about the social media companies that literally decide what goes up and what goes down and which influencers get to reach an audience and who doesn't?
What is your process? So you break, as I said, I am not being sarcastic. You break more stories than anybody. You break more stories in the Globe, God knows. You break more stories in the Herald, the Herald is so toothless right now. It's frustrating to me.
And they got a paywall.
Yeah, and they have a pay. Imagine paying for that.
Yeah.
You know, you're breaking. I mean, you must have now, you know, you must be hearing from sources all day, I would guess, no?
Oh, yeah. Our inbox is full. I need to get, like, another secretary. You know, our inbox every day is filled with stories. A lot of them aren't, you know, the greatest stories, so it's hard to filter through them. But, you know, we're working on stuff all the time. You know, it takes a lot of work. You know, the latest case we were involved in was a state trooper who was recently sentenced to jail.
Yeah, I just read this, yeah.
For rape, and there's a lot more to that story that's been going on that the media didn't report.
Well, you know, the other thing is, and you do this well, is, you know, you have the ability, the capacity, to at least when something first happens, doubt. Like, you know, my guess is you didn't believe the Smollett story at first, right? Like,
oh, God,
you know,
no. But that wasn't even close.
But, of course, and I didn't either, and neither did anybody else, but, the, you know, 95% of the world pretended. Like, you know, so there's this appetite to want to – you're in a good spot, and that people, you know, most people want to hear the truth, but yet the newspapers and the media right now don't want to tell you the truth. I mean, I have never seen in you know, you're a freedom of speech guy, so am I. Like, you know, you want that craft video to come out, fine. Like, really, no, whatever, that's important to you. The Globe is, like – obsessed with Robert Kraft's penis. It's the fucking
weird.
They
really want to see that thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Colin Kraft is saying, you know what, just drive in the Boston and just, like, whip it out and take it around the newsroom and let everybody take a look at it, take pictures with it, and then maybe we'll be all set. Like, I don't, you know, if the Globe just came out and said, hey, listen, like, we're doing this because of this, I'd say, all right, but they just fucking lie and they hide behind shit and they don't answer questions. It's that place is so fucked up right now. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, and you saw the article over the weekend. You tweeted about it. We just wrote about it.
Oh,
too,
it's crazy.
You know, they're lionizing these rich white women from Wayland who literally racially profiled an Asian-owned immigrant business in town, two of them, and drove them out without any evidence.
Right. Drove females out, drove Asian women. You know, normally the Globe would say, well, we have to defend these women. But like you said, this fucking dog group where they hang out with their dogs and fucking wailing. Yeah. They're all rich as hell. They sit there and they drive their cars around and go to yoga and work and whatever. And they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to ruin these women's lives. And the Stephanie Ebert, or whatever her name is, who of course won't talk, like wrote about these women like they're like the these, you know, fucking like these heroes. Yeah. Like, it's
because she's one of them. She identifies as that. You know, you should check out her bio on the Globe. It says something like, you know, I was reporting the news from 87, and then the election of 2016 happened, and now I'm an activist. It actually says that in her bio.
It's incredible. She's not a columnist.
No, she's not. She's a quote unquote reporter. So that's the alternative, and that's why it's important for, you know, independent media to exist and people to question these narratives.
Absolutely.
You know, they like to label you as a conspiracy theorist. Like, for instance, the worst of all was the Adam Jones thing 2 years ago, which is almost like 2 years ago now.
It's, you know, yeah, you right. It's just about, it, it's exactly 2 years ago. Yeah.
You never actually said that was false. I did.
I've said I don't believe it happened. Yeah, I don't believe it happened.
Right.
Yeah. But here's the thing, like, you know, I don't want to relitigate Adam Jones obviously that much, but I will say, you know, if there came out some video or somebody spoke up, it said something, I would have been the first guy to say, fucking ban that guy from Fenway forever. I don't, he's a fucking asshole. You want to kick him out? Kick him out. All I know is, and we've done this 3 million times, is I've actually stood out there in center field since then, and I have thought about people using that word, which is, you know, in the idea of nobody in 2017 at the time tweeting about it or saying something or video or shaming the guy or Instagram or Facebook, nothing. And Jones's history previously in post, it's simply not believable.
How that would have to be for Adam Jones to hear that from like 30 yards away. If you were in the bleachers that night, that would be like ingrained in your memory.
Well, we just saw it again. We just saw it again with DeMarcus Cousins a few months ago. Like, you know, it's the same thing over again where it's like, well, first the Yahoo guy said that he said it. Then he said he muttered it. Then he said no, but there was absolutely no proof. Then he covered his mouth. And just like, you know, this need for people to. And then, of course, when you question these things, if you don't believe somebody said the N-word, you are now a racist for not believing that word was said. It's like,
they'll say that, you know, you don't believe racism exists. It's like, I never said that.
No, it definitely exists.
Of course. This ain't it.
I mean, you know, again, if somebody said that to Adam Jones, great. You throw him off a bridge. I don't care. But I'm just saying, you know, but when this happens and then it's an easy thing to make Boston look bad, make everybody look bad. It's just, you know, it basically comes back to the same thing, which is that you see things and question them. You do it maybe in somewhat of a different way than I do. I question them. That's all. And what happens when you do that is you get your Twitter account suspended. You get, you know, kicked off Facebook. You get in legal trouble. I have my own issues. But but you know what? I'm not going to stop doing it. And I may wind up not in the business. Well, you may wind up not in the business. But the idea of being somebody who's just going to sit there and say, oh, well, okay, I just have no interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who's suing us right now was a lawyer. You know, she hired a lawyer at first. I don't know if it wasn't aggressive enough or whatever. But then she brings in George Leontire, who was Aaron Hernandez's second murder attorney with Jose Baez. He's with that team. And this guy, Google him. I mean, go see how many times he's sued people. He's right now suing Harvard University for criticizing one of his associates, Dean Sullivan, for representing Harvey Weinstein, which is, I think, is ridiculous to criticize him, but whatever, they have a right to do it. He's suing them. He's suing, you know, he's just, I had a deposition with him a couple, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was insane. We almost had to walk out of it because the guy is still just a gigantic bag of wind, and he just yells and screams. And the other day, last week in court, we had a hearing, and he wanted he wanted me to give up my Gmail password, my Facebook password, access to my dashboard so, you know, he can see who writes the blog, all this stuff. It's just like a complete invasion of privacy, and he wants it all to find out who my writers are. It's just like, I mean, this is the level, and we have to fight this, you know, this absurdity.
Well, it's going to be your life. I mean, if you're going to continue to, I mean, are you making a living on this now? Are you making a good living?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been making a living for 5 years, and I was making a better living 2 years ago, you know, when I had the Facebook page and I wasn't blacklisted from Google AdSense. Unfortunately, you know, I've had to go this route of asking for donations, like a lot of publishers, you know, have had to do as well. I think that's just kind of like the way of the future, how it's going to go. If you want to say controversial things, or, you know, not go along with groupthink, you're going to have to be self-funded.
Yeah, and I do think there's an appetite and a hunger for it, and I think you can do that,
and you'll
be all right. So what else can you promote for me? What else you got? The book? I like the book, by the way.
Oh, have you read it?
I told you I ordered it. I read it.
I mean, that's kind of like, I fell into this, right? I was a high school history teacher. Taught like in Shepherd Hill for 11 years, and my biggest, you know, I had a lot of opinions, right? And I got in trouble one time because I wrote on my Facebook page something about Julian Edelman. Remember when Julian Edelman got in trouble for grabbing a girl at a club or something?
Oh, yes. What, seven or 8 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, and nothing ever came of it. He was
in the charge,
so they kind of was bogus, whatever. But I wrote about that, and I said just something seriously about this. You know, I questioned.
Ooh.
And I got called down to the office about that. And another teacher reported me, and I was basically given a written warning. And I started a blog called AidenFromWorcester.com, and you know, I got suspended for 5 days without pay because I wrote a blog about Richie Incognito. I said that, remember back when he was accused of bullying?
Yeah, Jonathan Martin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, this is absurd. A 300-pound man cannot be, quote-unquote, bullied. This is the most overused word in the English language. We're teaching kids to be victims, blah, blah, blah. I got suspended 5 days without pay for writing that opinion because they said it violated the school policy on bullying. And so then I realized, I'm like, if I want to have opinions, right, and I don't want to get fired, which I was on thin ice already, then I need to be anonymous. And so thus Turtle Boy came along. And that was going, you know, that lasted about 9 months in Shepherd Hill before I went to Buffalo. And we go to Buffalo every year for the Patriots, and those fans are savages. It's great. I love it up there. And we videotape them calling us, you know, the F word, words that you don't say in New England. You know,
right.
They've been in Buffalo. There's no rules.
Right.
And just like, and I post those videos on the blog, and they came across as homophobes as Buffalo fans. You know, it went viral up there, and everybody wanted to know who I was. And somebody found out, and he wrote a blog in which he basically said that I sexually assaulted a girl at the Bills game in front of, you know, thousands of people, which was completely – the blog's no longer up because this guy's been sued for libel, and the blog was actually taken down. But didn't matter. He wrote it, and therefore it's true, and every single one of my students read it. It was sent to my school. The principal read it, and the school started getting death threats from all over the country. And I had to be escorted out of there by the police, and we just had a huge mess on our hands. And they realized, like, okay, well, he didn't do anything wrong here. Yeah, he's blogging, but there's nothing wrong with what he did. And so, but this is a public relations nightmare. The news is outside of the school. What are we going to do? And so they offered me a full year's salary, basically, a severance package, to just
walk away.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'll do this. I'll turn Turtle Boy into a business, and here we are today.
There you go. So you can go to the website, Twitter, well, not your Twitter account, but you know, you can order the book. You can get the fucking sweatshirts and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. We have a presence on Twitter. I have basically the fan page. The girl runs it at TV Sporty, and you know, she kind of acts as our de facto voice, which kind of eliminates the purpose of banning us, but whatever.
Right.
You can find us on Facebook at TB News. We have to hide the Turtle Boy because they come after us.
Okay.
Name and our name. Yeah.
And the actual physical website?
Yeah, the actual physical, so turtleboysports.com. Mm-hmm. And like you pointed out before, right, we're trying to kind of rebrand a little bit. So we created a new site called tbdailynews.com. And that's going to be the non, like you mentioned that blog before about the
mattress thing,
missionary Margaret. That she would not go on TB Daily News. She would stay on turtleboysports.com.
Okay.
Turtle Boy Sports is going to continue to be like the entertainment aspect of it, and TB Daily News is going to be more like, you know, the more legitimate, harder to criticize.
A new Turtle Boy, a classy Turtle Boy. All right.
Always thinking.
Okay, and like I said, I appreciate you having my back over the last year or so, because nobody else in the media did, so I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, but it's a principle, you know? If we can't stand up for free speech and, you know, expose these bullies, you know, nobody would know what Murchison was if I didn't find out.
Correct.
About it.
Correct. I think big cook in the next couple of days. I'm asking if you give him something to look forward to here in the next few days?
Not in the next few days, but we are working on some things.
All right. I'll check in soon, Turtle Boy. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
All right, man. See you. Thanks again.
Bye.
I know lots of you have, and lots more have as of late. But if you have not, remember to subscribe, rate, and review Enough About Me on radio.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Ratings and reviews help me in the show. So if you can, take a minute and leave one. It helps. It really does help. So if you've been listening to it and enjoy it, make sure to do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.